You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today I got a question from somebody, and I thought it was a good question. It's one that came up a lot when I was early on in my training career, and we just want to get no answers. And I know that some of these questions might show up on the test. So here's the question, and it's from Kimberly Surratt, and she sent me an email. And she said, "Good morning. I just listened to your podcast for the first time, and I plan on listening regularly. Thank you. You have a very unique way of presenting information and helps deepen the knowledge so easily. Anyway, I'm also writing to inquire about a listing of prime movers for all the exercises and the NASM library." I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you exercises for all the joint actions for all the exercises in the library or the primary movers. But what I will do is I'm going to put together just a short list of exercises. But it should be good enough to start the ball rolling, because what we want to do is to get you thinking. And I can tell that you're thinking right now when you ask that question. So let's go into it. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about joint actions. So you're going to have to follow me with joint actions. If you're new to this, it may take a little bit to catch on. Don't stop listening. Continue listening and try to figure out what it is that we're talking about when we say joint actions like flexion, extension, AB, and adduction. So follow along with us and stay with us. And it's just like listening to a language. Sometimes you just have to hear it over and over again, and then you start to understand it. So listen again. So I've got some exercises here. So we're going to highlight squats first. That'll be the first thing we're going to go into. What are the joints that are associated in it? What are the joint actions that are taking place? What's the plane of motion? And then let's talk about what is the primary mover and the secondary movers, or the synergists that are supporting that movement when we go through the exercise. We'll start with squats, and then we'll touch on deadlifts, but they're very similar. And then we'll go into RDLs, so Romanian deadlifts, chest press, lat pull down, shoulder press, and then we'll do biceps and triceps individually. And then we'll also add in a sit-up. And again, not because we are necessarily advocating sit-ups, but we want to understand the movement. And I think when we understand the movement, you start getting an idea of what the joint actions are. Which muscles are responsible for which things, it helps to better understand and deepen your knowledge. So, Stephanie, we're just going to go right into it, and hopefully this can answer your question and then answer questions for a lot of people. So the first question is a squat. Well, you want to know what the primary movers are in a squat. Well, there's going to be a primary mover for each joint action, so we have to identify what are the joint actions. Usually, when you look at a compound movement like a squat, the primary mover is going to be the joint that's closest to the center of the body. So we usually start at, in this instance, the hips, and identify what the primary mover is. Then we move down to the knees, and then we move down to the ankle. So here we go. We got the hips, knees, and ankles that are involved in squatting. Regarding movement, so what's moving during a squat? You get a lot of other muscles stabilizing, like our spine, for instance, is being stabilized by many muscles, paraspinal muscles and intra-abdominal muscles. But here we go. We've got the joints of hips, the knee joint, and the ankle joint are all contributing in a squat, are all moving in a squat. Well, what are the joint actions? The concentric phase is what we're going to focus on, but let's address the eccentric as well. The concentric phase is when you're standing up out of the squat. So when you stand up out of the squat, you're going into these three joint actions. You're going into hip extension, you're going to knee extension, and you're going into ankle plantar flexion. So there's three joint actions that are taking place. Now, what muscles are taking place here? Well, first of all, let's identify what plane of motion we're in. We're in the sagittal plane when we do a squat. So we know if we're in the sagittal plane, our primary joint actions are going to be either flexion or extension. So as I stand up out of a squat, hip extension, my primary mover for hip extension is going to be the gluteus maximus. The glute max is the primary mover in hip extension. It's not the only mover. So now let's go into, well, what are some of the synergists that assist with that? And what we'll look at here is that assisting muscles, the synergists, the helpers that are helping with hip extension, are going to be the hamstrings. It's going to be the posterior fibers of the adductor magnus. And then interestingly, to get up out of a squat, if you can't get that, then a synergist would be the erector muscles in the spine because you can't get full extension in the hips. So we tend to hyperextend in the spine to make up for it. However, the back extensors, the erector spinae muscles, are not hip extensors because they don't cross the hip, they don't work on the hip. And for a muscle to work at a joint, it must cross that joint. So the second muscle here is going to be your knee muscles going into extension. Well, your primary muscle and really your only muscle to assist with knee extension are gonna be your quadriceps. And quadriceps, four muscles that cross over the knee and help to extend the knee. And then let's move down to the ankle joint. The ankle joint, we have plantar flexion taking place. Well, what muscles are plantar flexors? It's going to be your calves, and your calves are going to work in tandem between the gastrocnemius and soleus to move through that plantar flexion. So as an assister, I would say not really. I mean, the plantaris is in there as well, but these two work together strategically to help these kind of movements take place. But your primary movers, glute max, hip extension, quadriceps, knee extension, and the calves, the gastroc soleus complex for plantar flexion, those are your prime movers in a squat. But here's a question. The question is, what are your primary decelerators or your eccentric muscles as you lower down into a squat? And that one will start to catch people off guard, because we start to lower down into a squat, people think, well, I'm going down into a squat, I'm going into knee flexion, so my knee flexors must be working. No, gravity's working, pushing you down into hip flexion and knee flexion and dorsiflexion. What we are doing is we're using our extensors, hip extensors, knee extensors, plantar flexors, to slowly decelerate and control gravity beating us, winning, but we're allowing it to win. So the same muscles that lift you are in fact the ones that lower you back down. So kind of the thing about a chest press, probably the easiest one, because that's where most people, I believe, have focused on doing negatives. And you've got somebody on the bench and you do several, you know, let's say 10 repetitions, you completely fatigue, and they say, let's get three more. And they get that negative in there. Well, they don't get the negative because it's working another muscle in the body. They're getting the negative because as you decelerate the muscle or that barbell towards your chest, it's still your pecs doing the deceleration, which we'll talk about more when we talk about the chest press. Well, let's talk about the deadlift. Now, I'm talking about a standard deadlift, not a Romanian deadlift. And a Romanian deadlift doesn't have much knee movement at all, but a deadlift, a regular deadlift, does. It's almost like a squat, except the weight is loaded in front of you from the ground. So you're squatting down, basically, but you are hinging forward a little bit more. Joint actions are the same. Hip extension, knee extension, some plantar flexion. Primary movers are the same. Now, let's be honest, there are different force vectors and force angles that are taking place that load you differently, but it's still the primary movers of hip extension, knee extension, plantar flexion are going to be the glutes, quads, and the calves. And the assisting muscles will be the ones previously stated, primarily in hip extension, which would be the hamstrings, posterior fibers of the adductor magnus. And some people argue the back, and it's fair. I think you can argue the back, but we're talking about prime movers. And in a deadlift or a Romanian deadlift, an RDL, there shouldn't really be spinal movement. Is it a good spinal exercise for your extensors? It is, yes, in the same way that a plank is a good exercise for your abs. But what's your primary mover? There isn't one, because there's no movement. So it's a good exercise for stabilizing the spine, strengthening the spine, but not moving the spine. So what are your prime movers? Well, it's not a back muscle, hopefully, but it is going to be same muscles that they were in the squats. Again, just working them in a different way. Now, a Romanian deadlift is going to shift a little bit because there's not much ankle movement going on in an RDL. RDL is not much knee movement going on. It's a slight bend in the knee and then a big hinge forward at your hips. Does that change what the primary movers are? In a way, it kind of does. Now, your primary mover in hip extension is going to be your glutes. But what happens is as you stretch the hamstrings, as you go deeper into your deadlift, are going to be your primary form of resistance because they're being stretched. And so they are protecting themselves. As we get tighter or they get lengthened, then that length-tension relationship is now going to say the hamstrings are going to fire up and try to protect you. But as you stand up higher and higher and your hamstrings go back towards a more neutral position, your glutes should really primarily kick in as you start to lift up out of that deadlift position. Sorry, that Romanian deadlift position. So I would say, what is the prime mover? I'm still going to focus on the glutes. What's the prime mover as you get deeper and deeper and deeper or come out of a deep deadlift or RDL? The hamstrings are going to initiate that, kind of like the supraspinatus is going to initiate abduction of the shoulder, but your primary mover in abduction of the shoulder is going to be your deltoids. So they have their place, and it is a spectrum. So we can't just say, well, this is the right answer. Sometimes there are the right answers, but based on our length-tension relationship, there's going to be a spectrum that takes place how these muscles start to activate. So it is interesting, and again, you can argue the back, but the back should not have a mover. Now, when we talk about lowering down into a deadlift, what's decelerating my hip flexion? My hip extensors are. My glute max. My hamstrings. My adductor magnus. As a matter of fact, there's a dominance that tends to take place in the squats, deadlifts, and RDLs. Where if you've ever felt maybe the back of your thigh, the inside of your thighs, and you're like, man, my hamstrings are so sore, and you stretch your hamstrings and you don't feel it, then the real answer is probably your posterior adductor magnus. And if you are sore there and you are not sore in your glutes, it's probably not because your glutes are so strong that they don't get sore. It's probably because synergistic dominance is taking place. And the synergist muscles, the muscles that are supposed to be helping, are becoming the primary movers, and they are taking over all the business, and the glutes aren't working as much. That's why we like to go through a corrective strategy prior to exercise, where you might foam roll and stretch and do some activation exercises just to get the tight muscles not so tight, to get the muscles that you want to focus on and activate, activated, involved in the workout, and then start integrating these exercises back into it. So RDL, let's talk about chest press. In the chest press, usually we only talk about the shoulder and the elbow. So, and let's go standard one. Let's go a transverse or horizontal plane chest press. So your arms are out to the side. They're abducted in the frontal plane out to the side. And then you're going to press straight in front of you. Now, a lot of people, they'll look at that and it feels like it should be a sagittal plane exercise because the fist is moving forward and backwards. But we're not looking at fist actions. We are looking at joint actions. And so if you looked at the shoulder and you put a dowel and axis, a rod, to the top of your shoulder, it would be spinning around in the transverse plane. Now, you can do a fly and see that happening, a chest fly, and now just add elbow flexion into that. It's the same joint action at the shoulder. So what muscle is your primary mover there? Well, I think we all know that the pectoralis major is going to be your primary mover in your horizontal adduction at the shoulder. The assisting muscle with that would be your anterior deltoid. So your deltoid definitely is going to help support your pecs in that exercise. But there's more. We can go right into the elbow and keep things simple. Elbow, as you go into elbow extension, as you press the weight off of your chest, that's the lift. That's the concentric phase. It's when the muscles that are doing the lifting are shortening, concentrically contracting. So they are going into, your elbow is going into elbow extension. Now, your elbow extensor is going to be your triceps. All right, three muscles in the upper arm that cross over the back of the elbow and extend the arm, do elbow extension. So I've got shoulder horizontal adduction, my pecs do that, my primary shoulder horizontal adductor. And then I've got my assisting muscle, gonna be my lats. Scratch that, erase it. The assisting muscle is going to be my anterior deltoids. But if we do the negative of that, so if I'm lowering that weight back down, many people will say, oh, well, if the weight is coming down towards my chest in a chest press, it must be my lats pulling it back. Well, that's not true at all. The weight is going to come back towards your chest, whether your lats are firing or not. The only thing that's going to slowly lower it down is going to be your pec activation. So you're going to slowly decelerate that bar or those dumbbells as it comes back to your chest. It's still your pecs decelerating horizontal abduction. It's still your triceps decelerating elbow flexion, but there's another joint action. The other joint action is going to be scapular protraction. You have two muscles that really do scapular protraction. It's going to be your serratus anterior and your pectoralis minor. And ideally, your serratus anterior is going to be working here, but this is a tragically underactive muscle. So it's likely that it is your pec minor muscle that is synergistically dominating protraction and leading to that scapular protraction. So let's move to a lat pull. In a lat pull down, let's go frontal plane for our lat pull down. So our arms are out to the side. We're in the frontal plane, like freeze, and your hands go up. Yep, that's your frontal plane, arms out to the side. And then you reach overhead and you do your lat pull down. And because I'm in the frontal plane, I know that my joint actions are going to be AB or adduction at my most proximal joints. My elbows will always be flexion and extension regardless of the plane that I'm moving through. So I put my arms up, I grab the bar, and I pull it down. Well, this is one of the examples where naming an exercise gets it right, right? So it is a lat pull down. In this exercise, my lats are indeed my primary mover in shoulder adduction. Shoulder adduction. So as I start to pull down, my shoulders adduct, my lats are the primary mover of that in the frontal plane. I have some assisting muscles, muscles that help out there, like my teres major. Teres major is a synergist. It's the lats' little brother. It likes to help out. Anything that the lats do at the shoulder joint, the teres major is going to try to do it too. It's a wonderful synergistic muscle for the lats. But then we also have elbow. In a concentric phase still, we're only focused on concentric phase right now, the lat pull down. As I pull down, my elbow flexes, and my primary elbow flexor is going to be my biceps brachii. In this particular position, because I'm not in a supinated position or a neutral position, I'm in like a pronated position, you're going to get a lot of brachioradialis in that as well. The brachioradialis is the muscle, they call it a drinking muscle, where if you hold a can in a neutral position, you bring it up, you see in your forearm a muscle start to pop up. And if you do that, like you're going to bring a drink up to you and you put your other hand on top of it and resist it. I'm doing it right now as I'm talking through it. And you see that forearm muscle pop up. That's your brachioradialis. And that one's going to be a mover when you are no longer in a supinated position. So I've got this biceps, elbow flexor, primary mover. I've got my lats as the primary mover in shoulder adduction as I go into a lat pull down. But here's a question. And this was a question I remember from my NASM test. How about this? If you were to do a lat pull down in the frontal plane, what joint action is the eccentric phase at the shoulder? So what is the joint action during the eccentric phase at the shoulder? Well, during the eccentric phase of a lat pull down, eccentric is the negative. So what's the joint action in the negative phase of the lat pull down at my shoulder? Well, that's as my arms go up overhead, the joint action at the shoulder is abduction. Well, what muscle decelerates abduction? It is not your deltoids. It is not your deltoids. It's the same muscle that does the lat pull down, the lats. The lats concentrically pull down, and they eccentrically decelerate abduction at the shoulder in the frontal plane. This is a really technical podcast, and I'm sorry, it can be really hard to follow for some people, and I apologize for that, but it is nitpicky. We look at bicep curls, right? So let's go to bicep curls. I do a bicep curl, my biceps, again, it's the answer. It's the right answer within the name of the exercise. Thank goodness I go into bicep curl. My biceps are the primary mover, especially preferentially activated during a supinated position as I go into bicep curl. Elbow flexion. Supination is as the palms face up. So if you really want to work your bicep, your palm will be up. Does that mean that's the only way to do bicep curls? It does not. It does not. There's variety in everything. Variety is the spice of life, and it is a spice in exercise. So you are going to have to switch things up a little bit just to keep yourself engaged, your clients engaged. But if you really want to work the biceps, then you must add that supination in there because that's part of the joint action that it does. It's a supinator. All right, I got one more exercise, and then I'm going to call it quits. Again, just for examples of what's going on, so this one can be pretty convoluted and complicated. It's going to be a sit-up. A sit-up, we got to break down the joint actions. Our joint actions, we're going into spinal flexion. Spinal flexion. So as my xiphoid process in the bottom part of my rib cage, as I crunch, gets closer to the pubic bone, because I know that my rectus abdominis runs from the bottom of the rib cage, the xiphoid process, that's the lower section of my sternum, and a straight line down to the pubic bone. Anytime I go into spinal flexion against resistance, as a concentric joint action here, my rectus abdominis is going to be the primary mover. But that's a crunch. I said a sit-up. Well, what else is happening then? Would you crunch as far as you can? And when you can't crunch anymore, what's the joint action? Hip flexion. So we go into hip flexion in a sit-up. Well, if I go into hip flexion in a sit-up, then it's not just an ab exercise. It's a hip flexor exercise too. And so what happens is that now I have other muscles, my primary hip flexors, like my iliacus major, my psoas major, or iliopsoas, sometimes they get smushed together because they have a common tendon. And they do hip flexion, primary hip flexors. Are they the only hip flexors? Oh, no, no, no. No, nay, nay, little lamb. There are many more hip flexors. Your sartorius muscle is a hip flexor. Your TFL is a hip flexor. Your rectus femoris is a hip flexor. Almost all of your adductors are hip flexors. There's a lot of hip flexors. But you have primary hip flexors. Primary hip flexors are going to be your psoas, iliacus, those are your primary hip flexors. So we take all of this into account as we learn functional anatomy. When I lower back down, let's finish this one up and add the eccentric into it. What muscles are lowering me back down? Well, it's not my erectors and my glutes. It's not the muscles that do the opposite that lower me back down. It's the muscles that do the lifting that also do the lowering. So my hip flexors will decelerate my hip extension. My rectus abdominis and its synergist, like the obliques, will decelerate my spinal extension. It slows down how fast my spine extends as I lie back down from a crunch or a sit-up, as I lie back down onto the floor. All right. So that's just kind of a run-through of, you know, joint actions. Kind of hip planes of motion, not on every one of them. That sit-up would be in the sagittal plane, right? But joint actions, primary movers, concentric, which is the shortening of the muscle fibers, and the eccentric, deceleration phase, in which muscles are involved there. And they're the same. They're the same muscles. The ones that do the lifting do the lowering. Anyway, Stephanie, I hope you found this interesting and it supported your question. I know you asked for the entire library that NASM has, the exercise library. And to that, I say this is Try to keep it about 20, 25 minutes, this podcast, and I'm about to go over, so I don't want to do that. Thank you so much for emailing me, asking me the question. If you have other questions you'd like to ask to help you better understand the content within the NASM material, please reach out. Be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have. It may go triage into a list, but I'll look through all of them. Thank you so much. My name is Rick Ritchie. Thank you. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.